This is episode 13 of UFO Encounters. This week I'm reading from Terry Lovelace's book, Incident at Devil's Den. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such fascinating information that never makes it into the podcast. And here, I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I'll put a link to this book in the show notes. I did seek permission to record the extract from the book, and the author kindly said yes. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe. This comes from a part of the book where he had been on a camping trip with his friend Toby. They had seen a UFO the night before and it had just floated over them, and they decided to go in the tent and go to sleep right with this UFO right over the top of them. So this is when they wake up later that night. This is what Terry has written. It was the lights that woke me up. I first noticed the bright lights and then that low bass hum I'd heard before, except this was more intense. Some flashes of light were bright enough to illuminate the tent's interior as if we had an overhead light. My eyes were sensitive to the lights. When I manoeuvred my body to get to my knees, I realised I was in a lot of pain. Every bone in my body ached. I was insanely thirsty and scared too. I couldn't grasp what was happening to us, and it was hard to shake off the sleep. I finally achieved a crouching position and my focus turned to Toby. Toby was on his knees inside the tent. He had opened the tent flap about 2 inches and was peering out at something in the meadow. He was crouched down and captivated by whatever was happening there. Again, he muttered something, but I couldn't make out what he was saying. The lights outside were multicoloured greens and yellow, very bright and in quick doses like a camera flash or a strobe light. I was awake but still in a fog. I wondered if this could be park rangers with flashlights, or maybe the headlights of a park service jeep with emergency lights flashing. But these were multicoloured lights. That just didn't fit. I was struggling to fully wake up. I had to claw my way to consciousness. It wasn't only the lights. There was also that droning sound. At first I thought it was noise made by a generator. Who would be running a generator in the bed of a pickup truck? Game poachers, maybe? The flashes of light illuminated the inside of the tent, just enough to catch an image now and then. I saw Toby was trembling like a man in the cold. I realised I was trembling too. I reached for the flashlight and Toby roughly snatched it from my hand. He held his finger across his lips and whispered, "Be quiet, they're still out there." I was shocked. In the flashes of light I could see tracks down Toby's cheeks. He'd been crying. This is a man I knew well. We were first responders, and we'd been through some dangerous moments together as a team. Toby could be relied upon to keep his head and not panic in an emergency. This felt like an emergency. What could move Toby to tears? Toby continued to shush me when I tried to speak. With my voice just above a whisper, I asked, "Toby, what is it? Tell me what's wrong. Are there park rangers outside?" Toby shook his head, "No," and stayed fixated on whatever was happening outside our tent. I noticed his breathing was shallow and quick, nearly panting. I kept my voice at a whisper. "Toby, man, you got to slow your breathing down, you're hyperventilating. Toby, you've got to tell me what's going on, damn it." Then I froze. I was startled by motion outside the tent. There were shadows crossing between the tent and the source of lights. I heard footsteps too. There was a rustling of leaves and grass. I had the impression maybe a dozen people were walking around the campsite. We both froze until the noises stopped. The apathy we'd experienced before bed was long gone. In its place was abject terror and panic. I tried once more to get through to my friend. "Toby, tell me what happened. Tell me who's out there," I asked. But why even ask? I knew who was out there. I knew them. Toby didn't answer me. I thought he was in shock. Frustrated, I struggled to my knees to see what was going on in the meadow. With my left arm, I pushed Toby back a bit and gathered the courage to look for myself. I was fully awake now, and the mental fog had mostly lifted. Squeezing next to Toby, I pulled back the canvas, and there it was. This wasn't a flying saucer at all. It was something else, something much bigger. This was something I had never seen before and was unprepared for. It was so gigantic that it filled every inch of the meadow. It sat motionless in midair. I estimated it to be 30 feet off the meadow floor. Then it registered. Of course, this is the thing we watched last night, before we went to sleep in the tent. We'd been staring at something in the sky. I remembered we were watching the triangle in the sky, but it was about 2,500 feet above us last evening. This was the thing that generated so much disinterest in us just hours earlier. Unbelievable. Now it was 30 feet over the meadow. We could see two sides clearly. There were randomly dispersed square panels of light on each side. It reminded me of a five-story office building at night with offices lit here and there on every floor. Along the very top was a row of larger windows that slanted outward. They were all lit. I saw faint shadows and movement behind these larger panels. These larger panels stretched the entire length of the two sides of the triangle we could see. The points of light had dimmed and were flashing. They were changing colours from greens, yellows and orange. Along with the droning sound, these were the coloured lights that woke me. The forest was quiet, but for a low droning sound that reverberated in my chest. Toby shoved his way over my left shoulder now, and we watched together. We saw figures walking and milling around underneath this thing. My God, they were children. Maybe a dozen or more kids, all about the same height. They were milling about in small groups of two or three. I whispered to Toby, "What the hell are children doing here underneath this giant thing in the middle of the night?" There was fear in Toby's voice when he answered, "Those ain't little kids. Those are not human beings, Terry. They took you too. They hurt both of us. Terry, they hurt us." His voice faded into soft sobbing again. I placed my left arm across his shoulder and he leaned against me, crying like a child. Images flashed in my mind and I recalled dreadful things. Toby, I know. I shut them out. I shifted my focus back to the craft as Toby struggled to compose himself. The thing was mind-blowing. I tried to take in the details. Its size alone made it a threat. It was made of black metallic material that was non-reflective. I would call the finish matte, like the diamond thing we saw over the nuclear missile silo. The corner nearest to us was the source of the multicoloured lights we saw shining through the canvas of our tent. The lights on each point shined through a seamless panel that ran from the bottom to the very top. It was the three corner lights that we initially mistook for stars in the sky. They shined brilliant white lights that twinkled to give the casual observer the impression they were just three stars in a field of billions. Turning my head, I glanced through the little screen window in the rear of the tent. Behind us, the entire forest was dimly lit with long shadows. That sight unnerved me too. I knew I did not want to leave the tent. A column of white light was now pouring out of something that was in the dead centre of the craft's bottom. I estimated the diameter of the shaft of light to be 30 feet and perfectly round. It was a visible cylinder of light. I was scared to death, but I didn't want to take my eyes off it. We saw the little people walk into the broad beam of light and dissolve into it. They continued moving under the light and disappearing, two or three at a time. They were leaving. We watched until the last one was gone. Shortly after the last little person vanished, the centre of the light switched off. The corner lights went to all white and were as bright as sunshine. The hum was gone now. The meadow was silent again. We were on our bellies with just our heads sticking out of the tent. We watched. We both felt like something was about to happen. Something did. The whole thing began to rise like a hot air balloon. It slowly rotated clockwise a half turn and wobbled slightly. It continued to climb, and it picked up speed until it was back in the heavens again. We watched the three points of light grow dimmer and closer together. Eventually it was just three dim dots of light forming a small triangle. This was the reverse of what we'd witnessed earlier in the evening. And it didn't shoot out of sight or slide down the horizon. It just continued its steady ascent until it vanished. So this week I was reading from Terry Lovelace's book, Incident at Devil's Den. And if you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. And a great way to support this podcast is to sign up to Patreon. On the Alien UFO Podcast Patreon, when you sign up for $5 a month, you get an extended episode every week. For $2 a month, you get an extended episode every month. Just go to patreon.com/AlienUFOPodcast. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.